Why are Newcastle so inconsistent?
There definitely seems to be an issue of attitude, because they're rousing themselves for cup games in a way they're simply not doing in the Premier League.
What on earth has gone wrong at Girona?
The team wasn't just picked apart, it was destroyed.
And is it the end of the road for Liam Manning at Norwich?
If they lose to Leicester this weekend, he's surely gone.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast No Faff. Let's go Route 1. Week 4 of the Champions League is complete, and it's almost been a clean sweep for the English clubs. Liverpool and Arsenal won their games on Tuesday. Last night there were wins for Manchester City and Newcastle, while Chelsea let the side down by only taking a point in Azerbaijan. Now the table, which you will absolutely forget within seconds of me telling you, is now topped by Bayern Munich, then it's Arsenal, Inter, Man City and PSG. If it ended now, Newcastle, Real Madrid and Liverpool would make up the rest of the automatic qualifiers. There are some interesting sides languishing outside of the top 24 though. Barking Mad Marseille are 25th, Juventus are 26th and Villarreal, so good in La Liga this season, are 32nd. But what of Newcastle? They had a toughish game. Athletic Club at home, but they came through with a degree of comfort. A powerful header from the godlike Dan Burn, another from the dynamic Joe Linton, all very different from the flattest of flat performances they gave at the London Stadium in their 3-1 defeat to West Ham at the weekend. So what's going on with them? Why are they so inconsistent, and why are they so poor away from home? George Culkin is from the independent Newcastle podcast, Pod on the Tyne. George, what are they?
Well, what they are, Ian, is pretty infuriating. They weren't blissful against Athletic Club, but by the end it was a comfortable, professional performance, and the kind of strange thing about that is you could see it coming. As awful as they were at West Ham, and I was there, and honestly, it was as bad as anything I've witnessed under Eddie Howe. You just knew they would lift themselves at home in the Champions League. They've become predictable in their inconsistency. And I think there are a few things at play. Their poor away form is pretty entrenched at the minute. That's one thing. They're still transitioning away from having a regular, reliable goal scorer and what that means for the team. And they're still relatively new to the concept of competing across multiple competitions at the same time. Are they equipped for it physically and mentally? There definitely seems to be an issue of attitude, because they're rousing themselves for cup games in a way they're simply not doing in the Premier League. Both Burn and Howe have spoken in the last couple of days about Newcastle losing their streetwise streak, which was such a feature not too long ago. Put bluntly, they've stopped being houses. I love those guys with their timely injuries, their blurring of lines, their gamesmanship, their ability to wind people up and shut games down. They need to make a comeback.
Make sure you check out Pod on the Tyne. You'll find a link in the episode description. Success in football is so fleeting. If you stand still, you can quickly find yourself left behind. Take Girona, for example. In 23-24 season, they finished third in La Liga, the only team other than the big three to do so since Unai Emery's Valencia in 2012. They were genuinely in a title race with Real Madrid until mid-February, and they finished 5 points ahead of Atletico Madrid to seal a first Champions League appearance. Well, this season, they're bottom of La Liga. They've won one game all season against Valencia, whose own season is only marginally less awful. Well, all of a sudden, La Liga's most recent success story is staring down the barrel of relegation. How has it come to this? Fergal Brennan, how have Girona fallen so quickly?
The case of Girona is one of the most blatant recent examples in top flight football of be careful what you wish for, and this idea that fairy tales just don't exist at the very, very highest level anymore. To say that their project in 23-24, where they did reach the Champions League spots, was built on sand would be an understatement. It is the finest grain sand ever that Michel built his team on. Just looking at some of the stats from that season, they had four players on loan who all played over 30 games. All four of those, Couto, Savinho, Garcia and Pablo Torre, all left immediately after the campaign finished. And two of their most important players who were there permanently, in Alex Garcia and Artem Dovbyk, also moved on. The team was absolutely decimated. And it is a big lesson for so-called smaller clubs who are completely reliant on loan players. but perhaps more importantly, reliant on partnerships with bigger clubs. Obviously, the connection here with Girona is with the City Football Group and that major link to Manchester City. And ultimately, that's undermined everything because they've just not been in a position to build on that progress, on that positivity, because the team wasn't just picked apart, it was destroyed. And it was instantaneous. We're looking now at the stats where it's 18 months on from finishing third, but the decline was almost immediate after the end of the 23-24 campaign. They only survived La Liga relegation by a point last time out, and they're right in there at the minute. Just one win, as you mentioned, since the start of this campaign. Rock bottom. And finally, a note on the manager. Michel Sanchez was mooted as the next big thing to come out of La Liga, following the path of Andoni Iraola, who went from Rayo Vallecano to Bournemouth, possibly even mentioned in the same breath as Pep Guardiola as a successor at the Etihad Stadium. His stock has plummeted. Girona are bottom of the table, and nobody likes negativity, but this is just what football is all about. Bah humbug.
And for more from Fergal, I recommend you follow him on Twitter. Not X, not budging on that. There's a link in the episode description. From one club unfathomably floundering in the relegation zone to another, Norwich have now gone 11 games without a win in the Championship. On the positive side, they did manage to stop a run of six straight defeats and move up a place in the table last night. But returning quickly to the negatives, that was only courtesy of a 1-1 draw against bottom club Sheffield Wednesday and their superior goal difference to Sheffield United. The mood music is miserable. Fans threw tennis balls onto the pitch during Norwich's most recent home game with Hull, and manager Liam Manning threw his players under the bus after they fell to a sixth straight home defeat. You have to feel for Manning, a Norwich native and former season ticket holder. But Adrian Clark of the What the EFL podcast, is it just going from bad to worse for him? And is a parting of the ways the most sensible course of action right now?
Well, when you've lost six out of six home matches after just taking the job, I think it's bound to create a less than favourable first impression. And that's the case for Liam Manning at Carrow Road. The fans aren't enjoying the football. They're protesting that there's too much passing, not enough shots. And I think that's a fair assessment, especially when you've got one of the best strikers in the division, Josh Sargent, waiting for some half-decent service. The team can't defend. They've racked up the third worst XG against this season. They've kept only one clean sheet. And I think that really is on Manning, isn't it? And organising the team. There's a feeling he hasn't addressed that issue with enough urgency. But he's also been stitched up by some really bad individual errors. No Championship team has made more mistakes leading to shots, for example. The trouble is they keep losing and tensions are rising. Shane Duffy, really experienced player, had a row with him on the pitch in midweek at Hillsborough. He was hooked at half-time, so keeping the team on side is probably his biggest challenge at the moment. Are they buying into his tactics, the players? It doesn't seem so. Despite some terrible recruitment, barely any of the new signings have impressed. They're not really a car crash team. A lot of their play is lovely to watch, and according to Opta, they've been unlucky not to score more goals. Six or seven they have them down for extra goals compared to what they've scored. Things have just conspired against them, and now, of course, there's tension, there's anxiety, pressure's building, and Carrow Road is a pretty toxic place. I think Liam Manning's a really good manager. He's a smart coach. He showed that at Bristol City and at Oxford, but I just can't see this marriage lasting much longer. If they lose to Leicester this weekend, he's surely gone.
Well, I'll tell you, if you heard that and you thought, I wouldn't mind hearing a bit more from Clarkey on the EFL, well, check out What the EFL, the podcast with him, Matt Davis Adams and Sam Parkin. It's in the episode description. Last night's Champions League action featured a rare manager-player physical confrontation as Atalanta's Ivan Juric grabbed Adamola Lookman following a heated exchange of words. CEO Luca Picassi and fan favourite Martin De Roon stepped in to separate the pair after Juric reacted angrily to Lookman's reaction to being substituted. Ivan, don't push it. You're lucky enough to get that job and currently in the bottom half of Serie A with 7 draws from 10 games. You, sir, are not in a great position to be alienating your best players. From the Champions League to the National League, my very own Southend United are bringing you a world first this weekend. Their clash with Carlisle United at Roots Hall, 5:30 on Saturday, will be broadcast live on TikTok as part of the National League's partnership with DAZN. First match live on TikTok, you'll never sing that. More and more young people are getting their football from TikTok these days, and indeed their entertainment, politics and amusing cat videos. Well, if that now includes Southend United, it must surely be considered a wonderful development. Leave it to the glorious Shrimpers to guide the next generation. Evangelos Marinakis has gone on trial in Athens, accused of instigating football violence and supporting a criminal organisation. The charges in relation to the 2023 death of 31-year-old riot officer George Lingeridis, who was killed outside a women's volleyball match between Olympiakos and Panathinaikos. 142 fans are also standing trial, accused of being members of a criminal gang and causing life-threatening explosions at a sporting event. They all, like Marinakis, deny the charges. The Europa League returns tonight, and that means a first European outing for Martin O'Neill since a 0-0 draw with AC Milan in 2005. Opponents Mitchell and offer him a decent opportunity to impress, seeing as Ange Postecoglou, tipped to take the seat O'Neill claims he's merely keeping warm, struggled so badly against them with Nottingham Forest. That's on TNT in the UK, followed by Aston Villa versus Maccabi Tel Aviv, the game which caused so many politicians to make absolute fools of themselves a couple of weeks ago. Forest themselves take on Sturm Graz as Sean Dyche looks to build on last time's fine win over Porto. Elsewhere, Rangers meet Roma for the first time ever. Real Betis host Lyon in an ideal clash for Nabil Fekir enthusiasts. And Crystal Palace seek a second Conference League win as they welcome AZ Alkmaar. That's all on TNT. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast No Faff. We'll be here every weekday at about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow. If you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Helena Fremantle was in the producer's chair. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. And we'll see you tomorrow.